All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Brian Hayes, Zero Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
Or Jimmy Benning.
30 seconds ago, you said not to mention that.
You literally, off air, just said, dude, don't bring it up. And I was like, but I tossed something back saying, I don't care.
I don't care. The thing is I actually don't care. You want to lay out how the transaction went down?
You sat down and I looked at you, and not that on a not like a normal day you look haggard, but it looked like you were like in Florida for a week. You're tan. Does he not look? He looks tan.
I haven't been outside. You know me. I hate the sun.
Yeah. So I don't know. The complexion looks about the same, but he's got a new haircut.
He's got a glow to him, and he's got a new haircut. And I looked at it, and I'm like, this guy went to Jimmy Benning's paint shop. I said, did you go to Jimmy Benning's paint shop? And he said, an hour ago.
So, and here, let me lay this out. At 2:15, I had a haircut. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, you know, some whatever blending,
some
done.
Adjustments,
some adjustments
in terms
done.
Of tinting.
The last, I think I've told you guys this. In the last 6 months, I've developed some grays here. I'm 51 years old. I'm going to wake up and I'll be Steve Phillips. You name it. We'll be white hair.
Right.
Rod Smith. You name it. Whoever's got gray hair that is over 50. It's starting to develop. So about 6 months ago, my lady said to me, like, why don't you, you know, throw a little blending in. Started to blend it. This is the second time I've done it.
So she broke the ice on that.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, this was not something you were proactive on. Someone else came to you and said, this is a plan we have for you. Almost
Which
like going
is
to a
ballsy
gym.
Ask.
It's almost like going to a gym and you sit down with a trainer and they say, let me work
on your triceps. I got to work on.
Make a plan for you.
Lachlan Monroe from, what is that?
A Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury. Got to work on your tries.
Okay.
So the plan was laid out. I had a fresh, I don't know if it's called a dip or whatever, just a touch up on the side to clean it up. And I got a haircut.
I'd have more respect if they did it like a house or inside when they're painting cabinets, how they tape up everything that's not supposed to be painted. Just full duct tape on your head and your skull or on your face, and they just take a spray paint like that.
So you're saying like I got a
the fence sprayer.
I've got a Bane mask on. I've got a mask on here, like just covering everything, including my eyes.
Right.
And then they just take like you're spraying a car down.
Right.
Painting the side of a car.
Right. Like, you know in that scene in Austin Powers when he's frozen?
Yes.
And they're, like, defreezing him? That's what I picture you doing when you're going in for a new Jim Benning paint job.
Listen, this is organic, but the point is I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not a guy who's, like, organically dyed my hair for 20 years.
No, right. Buddy, it looks good.
Here's the thing I want to put on notice for everybody. If I get an orange salad or something like goes sideways on it, I want it brought up. Because if it goes sideways, you're like, okay, that's it. Let it go.
Yeah, if you come in here with like fuchsia hair, you're out.
Because I'm all right. Like, at some point, like, you're going to get some grays.
Oh, it's already happening.
And
yeah,
you've got grays.
Absolutely
like, you
happening.
Said, what, 18 months from now, you're going to be Joe Bowen. You're going to have the gray
Paulie
hair.
Paulie Mackinac with the salad.
Hey, that's called distinguished gentleman.
Exactly. I agree with you. I agree with you. I it's a commitment. I mean, that's the thing, Noodles. You've taken small step for man, one giant step for mankind, right?
But it's not a vain. With you guys know me, it's not a vain thing. It's just like, hey, a little cleanup and a haircut. I'm good.
It's all good.
But
I didn't notice it. This guy's got radar going on. You and I were in the back room talking. I didn't pick up on anything.
I think it's the TV lights, though.
It may
because
be
the lighting
very
out there,
bright in here.
The lighting out there, you can't notice anything. In here, you notice my green skin and my fresh dye job.
Okay.
But it's only on the sides.
Well,
there's nothing
good.
On the top.
It's like a playoff hair. Like you're ready for the playoffs,
ready for
right?
the playoffs.
3 weeks tonight. The
Is
playoffs
it three
will
weeks
begin.
Tonight?
Yeah, I believe it's going to start on the Monday night. Season ends on the Friday, I believe, league-wide.
Right.
Which is strange. It's clearly American TV is dictating how it's going to work out.
Right.
Which I don't know who's got what night, ESPN or TNT. I believe they they pair off, right? Like, right. It's ESPN's got Monday, Wednesday, Friday. TNT's got Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, something like that.
So you think it starts, what, the 19th?
I believe it begins on the Monday.
The 17th?
Yes, on the 17th. I'm pretty sure it's 3 weeks tonight.
Wow.
And as for who when the Leafs are going to play, we know who they're going to play. And we pretty much know they're playing at home. Like, that was a big 2 points last night. I thought they played well in Carolina. They obviously lost that game. They're not the first team to do that. Carolina's a really good team. But now they're 7 points up on Tampa with a game in hand.
Yeah.
Effectively punching their ticket for home ice advantage. So likely at Scotiabank 3 weeks tonight, if not 3 weeks tomorrow night.
I would say it's the Tuesday. For some reason, in my mind, it's like, don't you think they'd want it on Tuesday instead of Monday? I don't know why.
I guess that would map out Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, but who knows? I mean, ultimately, I think I'm assuming the other guys are going to have some say in when the Leafs play, or you would think they would, and likely when the Oilers are going to play. But the American TV networks pretty much, have the power in all this.
Either way, we're three weeks tonight, three weeks in a day, type of thing. So
it's going to happen quickly, right?
Man,
it's coming quick, and the Leafs, they only have so many games left. They got nine games left now. Again, they have a game in hand on Tampa. They play Tampa the second last game of the season. But if everything stays consistent,
that should be a throwaway game.
Probably a throwaway game.
For both teams.
Like, it likely is determined by that point.
Are you dressing anyone for it?
I'm not sure how to handle that.
I'm not either. Because Tampa, I don't know how many throw games mentally they ever. They want to send a message, but I don't even know if I want to send a lineup down there. I really don't.
But you have to. The problem is you have to send some guys, and then what's their last game against who?
It's the Thursday against the Rangers.
Rangers. Okay, so the Rangers are they'll be setting their lineups too. Like, these last couple games, that the 10th and the 13th or whatever it is, the 11th for the Leafs, like, that's more about jockeying, not for position, just getting everyone feeling good, and if there's anybody that has X amount of points to get over the hump or whatever, you kind of tailor it to that. But at what point do you go, all right, I'm shutting player X, I'm shutting Marner down on the 11th and not playing him the 13th? Keep in mind, that's a week for a play. Like, you want guys fresh, but you also don't want them rusty. So it's a weird, like, how they're going to lay it out. Because am I looking at this right? They play the 10th, 11th, the back-to-back.
Right.
Then the Thursday.
And then they're done.
And then they're done. And Joe from the Bridge says confirmed for Monday the 17th.
Right. That's when the playoffs are going to begin. Now, again, we don't know if the Leafs will be playing that night. It's either the Monday or the Tuesday.
Right, right.
But that's what they've got to map out now, because home ice effectively is finished.
Well, you've got to make sure Joseph Wall's ready.
Joseph Wall looked pretty good last night.
I saw your tweet.
Joseph Wall looked pretty good last night.
And Frankie confirmed. Frankie sent me a text today, said legitimately he got a text going, do you run with Wall? And I was like, what did Ilya Samsonov do?
He had a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Ilya Samsonov had a child.
Like, what did
so
he
now
do to be
out,
all of a sudden taken out of the mix? Because I think he's Joe played pretty damn good.
The Joe from the Bridge mentality is actually a thing. It's like Murray doesn't perform that well. Coach calls him out on Saturday, and then Wall comes in, and people in their heads, they're like, Wall's my guy.
Right.
Wall is the guy.
And he's played well.
Nothing wrong with being
him. He's played well.
The guy of the future, too.
I think what is clear here is it makes sense why they left him as their third option, right? Like, that likely was their thinking, is they could have gone out and acquired a veteran that pushes him down the roster a little bit, or depth chart a little bit, right? And obviously they have faith in him, and they believe that he's a guy that can play for them. And if it gets to a point where Samsonov and Murray are not available, then they're comfortable with Wall. Right. As comfortable as they would have been with any other option they could have acquired leading up to the deadline. And I can reason with that. But this is the mentality of Leaf fans. Like, we've been living in this GM mentality for so long because the team hasn't won in so long. It's almost like a rebuild psyche. That you can't lose until you finally win a round. And what this is about is, I haven't seen him be awful yet, so I like him, right? Like, I haven't. Once this guy gives up five and gets pulled, people will turn on him. Or it'll be, hey, it's the other guy. That's why Nyes is perfect. Nyes is perfect in the eyes of Joe from the Bridge, because we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't played yet, so he's perfect.
Yeah,
when he plays,
he's two giveaways away and a turnover and a bench.
From being a bust.
That's right.
He's a bust, and they should have flipped him for a future, at the deadline. That's how quickly it can turn and how fickle people can be.
We know the passion.
But
we get it.
To Wall's credit, he played really well last night. And he's a good option. He's not pushing anyone out of the way. Murray and Samsonov are going to continue to be the two guys.
What did Sheldon keep? Like you, what it was? It was the James. It was James Reimer, wasn't it?
I kind of picked up on that. So after the game on Saturday, Keefe was asked about the play of Murray, and I'm paraphrasing, but effectively he said, "Yeah, he played pretty well for us, but he can't be giving up four every night."
Right.
Which is a blatant fact. Like that's
not a shot.
No, it's not. Neither was okay. Just okay though. Right. With Randy and Reimer, it was. James Reimer, he was okay, just okay, and heads were exploding and hell was breaking loose. And I think that was Carlisle just giving an honest assessment. And I think that's exactly what
against Carolina. That's the bottom line to win a hockey game.
Yeah, but that's every single game. Now, there is context in that. The previous Saturday in Ottawa, I thought he was outstanding. And yes, he gave up four, but I thought he was outstanding in that game. I didn't think he was very good on Saturday night, and he gave up four.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, as Keith pointed out, and this is just a straight fact, you cannot be a goalie in the NHL and give up four every game.
No.
You can't do it. It cannot happen.
The 80s, man.
The playoffs are 3-2, 4-2 with an empty netter, or that type of 2-1. Like, you ask any coach, three should win. Three goals, four should win you a game
Babcock
in the playoffs.
Babcock used to say that all the time, regardless of what you think of him as a coach or person, whatever. He was bang on with some of his thoughts and anecdotes. It was like race to three, and then you got to kind of hold on for dear life.
Absolutely.
I'm fair with that. You know, did I think Murray, I actually did think he was just okay. I thought the other kid was really good. I thought he made, in the second period, that game could have broken wide
You're
open.
You're talking Carolina school.
Sorry, yeah. Yes. Guy always butchers his name.
I thought you were talking about Wall last
Kochetkov.
Kochetkov.
Yes.
On Saturday night, I thought that game would have been broken open if Kochetkov didn't stand on his head. I thought he played really well. And that was the difference was, you know, they kind of got goalied on Saturday night. And yesterday, Wall gave them a chance. I didn't think Nashville was particularly dangerous.
They didn't have anything going.
But they had a couple chances where it was critical times. Was it 2-on-0 or whatever? Wall made that glove save and pushed across. Like, I thought there was a couple solid saves. Nashville, I mean, with the injury to Duchesne, I'm checking my roster going, okay, call up, you know, young guy, all that type of stuff. But they got the win yesterday. But I thought Saturday night Matt Murray was just okay.
Yeah, that's really what he's been.
Right.
And this is what we've been discussing all year when it comes to Murray, is at some point it's got to move past is he healthy being the only thing you talk about and become an analysis on whether or not he's playing well.
He's getting one more crack, Brian. He's going to get one more crack where he's going to go into the net and all eyes are going to be on him because, as you mentioned, the playoffs are 3 weeks away. So he's going to go into the net, and if he dials in a performance, that might get somebody's attention. And probably the only guy that matters is the head coach, where the coach says, I like what I saw, and I want to build on that because maybe there's something else on top of that. And then if he craps the bed on the next performance, it's Samsonov's net to lose right now. But there's one more crack for him to make an impression to say, you got something, and maybe you'll go in the net. But other than that, Samsonov's playing game one.
Especially at home, considering how well Samsonov's played at home.
Yep.
He's been outstanding.
They've got, what, 9 games left? I would say, now Samsonov's available to them.
He'll
now,
probably
correct?
Play Wednesday night, I
okay,
would think.
Okay, so.
He's got to play well, too. Let's
5-4?
Ourselves.
Like, the way I see it, I think Murray's going to play probably 4 more games. Samsonov, 5. Unless you're going to give Joseph
You might give Wall a starter, too.
But I don't know why. That would be my question. I don't know why, at this juncture, Joseph Wall would get another start, unless there's an injury or sickness. Because kind of like the defense pairing, kind of like the forward lines we'd like to see, you need stability in net, too. And you need both of them feeling good about their game. So Samsonov comes back after the baby. You got to get him the games and the minutes that he feels comfortable heading into the playoffs. Same thing with the other guy. Same thing with Matt Murray. Because I think you need him feeling comfortable in the event that Samsonov, things don't go well for him, you go to Murray. That's
absolutely
it. Those are your guys. And if there's an injury, Joseph Wall is a young kid, come up. I don't know how many times I've heard, let Wall do the Binnington. How many times have we seen, you know, Jordan Binnington?
Yeah, that's preposterous. Like, and he came up in January and was the guy.
Let Wall do the Binnington.
Let Wall do the Binnington.
It was said to me the other day. Like that's
like it's a dance move.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like that's because it's fantasy, right? It's this idea that Wall can pull a Binnington. He can be the next Ken Dryden and come out of nowhere as effectively a rookie. No, not maybe. It's not going to happen.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, maybe he's going to be a really good NHLer. I think he's got some skill there, and I think he's got some ability. But why place him in the situation?
The Leafs are not going to do that.
When you sign two guys in the offseason and said, this is our thought process, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to try and have them both going at the same time heading into the playoffs. So the next nine games have to be to get those two going, not to see if Joseph Woll can be Jordan Binnington, which has happened once.
Effectively once. Yes.
From last place. Keep in mind, St. Louis was in last place when they brought Binnington up, and he was their fifth goaltender in the system.
Right, exactly. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime story.
No kidding. Once every 100 years, that's going to happen.
Right. And listen, if it gets down to it and Woll plays, then, hey, good for him, and let's see what happens. But the Leafs are not entertaining that idea.
Well,
clearly.
If Joseph Woll is playing, something not good has happened in front of him.
I think he's got two injuries.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think these guys could play their way out of a scenario like that.
Two garbage performances where you're lost and you got nothing else.
Even that is far-fetched where you're down three in the series. Let's go to the kid.
But I asked this question the other day. This is what, and Hayes, you said this to me years ago, and I kind of use it as an analogy. When you have two starting quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Right.
Because you're always questioning, you should have gone to this guy, should have gone to that guy. What? Let me paint a picture for you. Samsonov starts, he's just okay, but they lose 4-3. Does he get another opportunity, or are we going to be yelling, screaming, you got to go to him? Because if whoever play, Willie Nye, doesn't play well in that first game, you know he's going right back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what concerns me about a tandem, is if a guy doesn't get a win, are you thinking, got to go to the other guy right away? Or does the other guy get an opportunity to go, I want to bounce back. I'm going to play better the next time.
I think that should be the case.
It should be.
Absolutely. And I think it likely will be. I mean, history would suggest if you commit to a guy, that means you believe in that guy. And if it's a one-off,
right,
you give him a chance to bounce back. Like, you've got to have faith in your team. Game one cannot determine your whole disposition.
Agreed.
You can't panic as an organization if you lose one game.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that is my only concern when you have a tandem and you have, like, an option at 1A, 1B. If one guy struggles in one particular night, you're always going, should have gone with that guy.
Right.
That's the guy. And everyone has their favorites, too, right?
And I'm sure Keith does, right? He's not going to tell anybody publicly which way he's leaning. I'm sure they had a thought process in the summer, you know, or at least a plan. Like, if it gets to this point and things are playing out this way or that way, this is, you know, the direction we're going to take it.
Right.
But once you play the games and you get through the season, I think minds change.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. My buddy was at the game in Carolina, not a hockey expert. He's watched a lot of hockey. But he made one observation to me. He talked about a couple things watching the Leafs, some stuff that they could probably do better. But he even said, and I know we got into it a little bit last week, if that number 34 plays like that in Carolina, he's a problem for any team. Because I think he had 15 shots on net.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
And he even said, he goes to all the Carolina games, he goes, we can't touch that guy if he plays like that. And it doesn't have to be like that every night. You're not going to get 15 shots. But his B game can be close, and he is a separator for something like that.
Absolutely. That's the best I've seen him play maybe ever. That includes all the games he played last year winning the Hart Trophy. That's probably recency bias. You could maybe reference the first game he played in the league where he scored four. But you could tell early and often against Carolina, this guy is here to play, and there is a 0% chance he's not scoring.
Yeah,
like a 0% chance.
There's an intensity and just like an opportunity machine where it's like, I'm going to get a chance here, I'm going to get a chance from the corner, I'm going to get a chance in the slot, break, whatever.
And it's been building for weeks.
That's kind of where I was going. Like, that second period alone was his show.
Right.
Like, the first period, he was great, but, like, the second period, it was like, turn puck over jam, like, hard play off the Woll. It was like, it was just, he was kind of around. Like, it was, every time he was on the ice, they didn't have an answer, or it was by committee trying to, like, shut him down.
Right. I've never seen that ref call, that continuation thing. That what is going to happen if that it happens in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where the guy, usually the guy blows the whistle and is like, sorry guys, nothing, I couldn't see anything. Yeah. But then all of a sudden he was like, goal! I could not believe that.
It has happened before, right? They were referencing that on Saturday night. Like,
it was just a weird play, because if you were on the front of the play,
I get it, Jamie, but
the play should have kept going.
The ref goes, sorry man, that's my bad. I couldn't see the puck.
I've seen where the ref makes a call where he goes, in my mind I was gonna blow my whistle. I got to it late.
That happens.
Right, that happens. This was quick whistle, kind of behind the play. And then
and he
going,
rips it in the net. He's like, God damn, I'm late on that. And the guy goes, no, it's a goal.
It's a goal. And then the funny part is I guess the question would be, did Carolina give up on the play or not? Because you hear the
whistle. Well, that's what Brind'Amour was yelling about, was that the goalie gave up on the play.
You see the eyes on the coach?
I thought Rod the Bod was shirt was coming off and he was coming over the boards.
He was
understandably, because that ties the game up late.
Late, too.
And the whistle had blatantly gone. Listen, it was a wide-open net. I think the way it was described was Bunting had passed the puck before, basically either while the whistle was going or before it was going. And then if it's a wide-open net, like Matthews is scoring that 10 times out of 10. I don't know. I mean, it is a strange...
It was a weird
sequence
one.
Of events. I don't know how often that happens. I don't know how often it's going to happen in the future. I think it was. It should have been a goal. Like that's. There's no question
the
about
puck
that.
Was the ref, loose.
The whistle should not have gone.
I think he was like, "Hey, I whiffed on this," and he probably went into the group and they were like, "You got to call that a goal because the puck was loose."
Right.
The other one, like all I could think of is that Ottawa goal the other night where Lars Eller jammed it. I don't know if you saw that delayed icing.
Yeah.
That was the ref was behind the goalie saying that it was loose. He couldn't tell if it was loose. He just there was instinct or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's been some weird, calls happen recently. That should have been a goal, but it was just a bad look because the ref's like quick whistle and then let's see how it unfolds.
If the Leafs ended up winning in overtime or winning in regulation, it would have been a bigger story.
Yeah.
But 30 seconds later, Aho scores and it's like, thanks, check please.
Yeah, that was
speaking of weird plays. I think I saw the weirdest play I ever. A catcher thrown out today for, dude.
Yeah.
Can we take a break and show this clip and talk about it?
I don't know if we have it. Do we have the feed on that? Like, we'll see if we can get it. JT Real Muto is the guy who got tossed, and
he thought the umpire threw the ball back to the pitcher. So he put his glove away, and the ump thought he was goofing on him, so he threw him out. I couldn't believe it.
We'll see if we can play. I don't know if we can really get into it if we don't have access to it, but we'll see if we'll break it down. We'll get into it. More into Matthews, more into the number one defenseman, if he still is, considering what happened over the weekend. The Raptors had themselves a really good weekend. We'll get more into that and the situation in the NBA, including LeBron returning, and what was supposed to be a battle of the MVPs going at it tonight. Can't happen because Joel Embiid's been playing too much recently, so he won't go tonight against Jokic. That is the nature of the modern-day NBA.
And Bron had the quote of the year.
Yes, and LeBron with quite the quote on his feet and how he approached it and his doctor. So more on that still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the Leafs and Raptors both off tonight. Raptors back in action tomorrow with Kyle Lowry in town. So Kyle will... hitting some TaylorMade clubs earlier today. I noticed that online. TaylorMade posting on Instagram and Twitter. Kyle Lowry getting in there.
Nice.
Hitting some wedges, probably a stealth two. Who knows? But not golfing up here, but down in Miami, I'm sure he is. On off days, Kyle finds a way to tee it. I'll bet he's teeing it every single day. I'll bet you Kyle Lowry plays golf at least five times a week.
And I think he got a taste for it in the Tampa
season. The bubble, absolutely.
He was like, this is like he bought a new Ferrari and he was dialed in.
You wonder if, guys in their situations, you go on vacation somewhere and you're like, no, they got a team here.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't mind a sign here. Like something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're near the end of your career like him. He's on the beyond the back nine. I mean, he's got, what do you think he's got left? 1 year?
Nothing.
Yeah, this, I believe he has 1 more year left on his deal, but this very well could be it. He's not playing a ton.
Right. So, like, wouldn't you want to go, like, somewhere where it's like, hey, lifestyle, kind of, wife and kids enjoy it, all
absolutely.
That type of stuff, right?
Well, and he is an avid golfer. Like, he loves to tee it, and he loves, I believe, watching golf, like going to tournaments. Like, he's a junkie. Like, he may show up at a golf tournament with a golf glove on. He might.
Pair of shoes.
He might wear a pair of cleats.
There was a new installment at the Players. It was Full Set Guy.
I find that hard to believe that was true.
Why would there was a picture. Him?
I saw
Full
the picture.
Set Guy, and there was people beside him with the Players, like, bags from the gift shop. So it was at the Players, and this guy was walking around with a full set of clubs.
Where's security, though?
Yeah.
Like, you can't walk into Scotiabank with a hockey bag.
Dude, there's houses right on the course. Maybe he lived on the course.
I don't think so. So if you live on the
member,
course
you think
at
he's
the
a member there and was like, I'm going to just jump in? Or
well, if so, then that's absolutely a ridiculous maneuver. The idea it that is. He's just going to show up and think he's going to get a tee time at the Players' Championship.
Go from the bridge. Try to find Full Set Guy.
I saw the picture of Full Set Guy. What I'm saying is I'm feeling Photoshop vibes it's a different type of tournament. Because I can't understand.
No way, dude. It was real.
Why you're walking around as a patron with a set of clubs. Like, what do you think you're accomplishing walking around as a patron at a golf tournament?
It's only one step above from Bushnell Guy. Why are you zapping a yardage from the patron section to a pin? You're not hitting a shot from there.
It's more than a step above that. I'm not downplaying how goofy the radar gun guy is.
Yeah.
Or any of these characters.
Yeah, glove in the back pocket.
Exactly. Like, golf shoe guy, any of it. But the idea of carrying clubs around a professional golf tournament.
It's ridiculous.
You got to be unless it's you got to have a
something's
got to
be.
Unless he's a YouTube guy or something.
It's got to be a dare or something.
It's a YouTube guy or something like that.
Yes.
The yardage finder, I think it's interesting because if you're walking and the guy's about to shoot, like, you can do your own reconnaissance and be like, that guy's got a six and he's from this far. Like,
what does it matter, though, Noodles? What do you think you're going to tell the guy? Hey, I zapped it at 158.
It's got nothing to do with
from my
that
experience
guy.
Being a live patron at a golf tournament, the only thing that you get out of it, like, the only thing I ever got out of it is standing behind a tee block at Augusta National and watching from 3 feet away Tiger Woods hit a driver. That was the experience that I got where I walked away and I'm like, you don't get this, like, that was real deal Holyfield. I could walk to my car right now and go home.
Right.
The whole idea of wheeling around the I don't know. You could set up shop by a green and watch a bunch of good chips and stuff like that. Why you would ever carry a bag is insane.
I don't understand how that gets through security. Like, we saw it at the Canadian Open.
Yeah.
There's security to get in. It's a sporting event. There's a lot of people around.
At the Canadian Open, they took my hulls away. My throat lozenges.
Right.
I had a brand new set of...
As they should. How dare you?
I was walking in with my backpack, and they put it through the machine. The guy opens the side, and he goes, you got to take these. I go... Why? And he goes, they could be plastic explosive. And I go, or they could be hulls. Like,
but imagine you had a golf bag and he goes, what do you got, P790s? Yeah, you can bring those through.
Like, it's
insane. What do you got there? Kind of putter are you? Yeah, you can bring that through.
Loft and flex, please. If those are X shafts, come on in.
It just, like, you're right. Security could not allow this guy in.
I don't get it. I do not get it. So anyway, cool to see Kyle. And you know, now that, like, Lowry, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, the idea of he'll get an ovation as he should, but you only come back for the first time the one time.
Yeah,
you're not getting a video. It's not the same thing after you return, and he's already done his return. So
why was Scotty's 360 dunk yesterday? Was that a big deal? Was that like because he was coming back from injury?
I think so.
And it's like, why are you doing that?
I think so. I mean, he just returned last. It was a game time decision. He ends up playing. They get past Washington. They had a successful weekend. They got Miami tomorrow to wrap up this homestand. They're into the playoffs now. Like, they are going to be a play-in team. The question is, can they pass Atlanta for that 8 seed?
Right.
And if they do, there's a good chance Brooklyn could drop to the 7 seed. They could play Brooklyn in that play-in game. They can beat Brooklyn the way they're set up right now. And
you
so,
would like to think.
Absolutely. Oh. Yes, without KD, without Kyrie. Although I talked to Luka about that. Like, Luka right. Doncic is basically crying on the podium. Dude. He hates playing basketball right now.
Why is that, though? Isn't it a coinkydink, as my mom would say? Who shows up to town and now they suck?
Defensively, they're terrible. They weren't great anyway. And I think Luka's got some personal stuff going on that continues to be referenced, but it's kind of the nature of the NBA right now. It's just like, is anybody happy? Giannis is happy. I think Giannis is pretty happy. I think Jokic, when he plays, is happy. Like, those are the top seeds in the East and the West. The Kings are happy because they're actually going to the playoffs.
Right.
But who is happy? At every game, you look at it, you circle guys, you're like, he's probably not going to play. Embiid's not playing tonight in Denver. This has been one of the more hyped games of the season because it's Embiid versus Jokic. They only play each other twice. And it's precaution. Effectively, I think it's almost like they are protesting the NBA for making them play a back-to-back Friday and Saturday on the road.
Right, right.
Which, that's, again, the nature of the modern-day NBA. What, you want us to play a back-to-back and then play again on Monday? How could you possibly expect that?
Right.
And as a result, Embiid won't play tonight.
But doesn't Embiid go to somebody and say, look, man, this is kind of some MVP... Like, this might sway some votes one way or the other. I'm going in there, and I'm playing against Jokic.
I would think he'd have the power to do that. I believe the teams are driving a lot of this.
Is that he didn't?
Well, it's the same thing that happened, though, with Jokic when he was in Milwaukee a few weeks ago.
That's right, yeah.
Remember, Mike Malone came out of the Nuggets. He's like, well, what do you want out of us? Like, we can't play him. And everyone's like, why not? And he went on this diatribe about the NBA screwing Denver by, you know, forcing them to play the night before. And then there was travel. And
he basically blamed it on the scheduler.
Like, yeah.
Why would you put him in a back-to-back situation?
Like, it's impossible. We can't play him. We cannot play Jokic tonight. It's the same thing with Philly. Sorry, can't play Embiid. Okay.
No,
then what are we watching for, then?
That idea is just...
But it's insulting.
I think Edwards in Minnesota put it best. He's like, I don't know what the hell these guys are talking about. That's the schedule. That's what we get paid to do. And he always says, I'm playing.
He wants to play.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, he's still a young guy. You know, we'll see where he's at in 5 years.
But this stuff of why are they doing this to me, why are they doing that to me, that's gotten too far.
It's ridiculous. Well, the idea that Jokic didn't play Giannis and now Embiid's not playing Jokic tonight is
like
because
every
of scheduling
single team organization player wants the Kawhi Leonard treatment from his days in San Antonio and Toronto.
It's embarrassing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, every single night. Last night you knew Beal wasn't going to play. Haliburton was going to play when Indiana was up here.
So is the
you just know it.
Is the sell for a given night is like, hey, they're all playing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's our radio show leading up into a big game. It's like, hey,
breaking news.
You know, we got a full roster playing tonight. Like, we expect Player X in.
Right.
You know, that's basically what
that's
it's getting down to.
Like, I wonder if the NBA ever gets to a point, with technology being what it is, where you can buy tickets in a second. You know, you can adjust stuff on the fly. You don't have to worry about the tickets being sold months ago and we can't reach the guy. He's going to show up.
Right,
he's got a ticket stub. Like, when does it get to a point where fans are asking the teams, like, I paid for tickets, and these guys aren't playing.
Maybe they flex their seats.
Flexing it based on whether or not the star plays that night.
Exactly.
Like that's a revolutionary ticket idea that teams will, of course, fight back on. And I understand the argument is it's entertainment. You can never know. Maybe they're legitimately injured.
Right.
Maybe something flared up in their personal lives or whatever. You know, they're having a child. They can't make it, of course.
Of course.
I think most people can reason with that. But if you pay a premium price to see Embiid versus Jokic, and Embiid's just not going out of precaution.
Right.
That to me feels like the ticket's been cheapened significantly.
Absolutely.
It's really significantly been cheapened.
Well, think about the guy, like, what is it, a month ago saying, this game is going to be a heater MVP race, and we got to go. And look what you get. You get jammed up.
Well, and then you've got the extreme being teams that are out, like Portland. They're just going to shut Damian Lillard down. They're just going to shut him down because they're like, there's no point.
Same for
they've been banged up. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're out of it. They're now, what are they, 4.5 out of the 10th seed in the West. So if you have tickets and you're sitting there
thinking, I
got four or five more tickets to go.
Yeah, like, if I'm in Portland, I'm pissed.
But it's the tanking situation, too. You know, in hockey, teams that want to get near the bottom, one of their good players is like, got a little boo-boo. It's like, you're done.
Oh, they're not immune. They're not immune,
right.
But not to this extent with like star talent,
right.
Because like the best teams in the NBA, they have more luxuries because they're so far gone.
Right.
Right? Right. Like, yeah. They're so far gone into the playoffs, and there's such a separation that they feel like... Like, you look at the top four teams in the East, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Cleveland, they're miles ahead of everyone else. And Denver, Memphis, Sacramento in the West are miles ahead of everyone else, too. Right. So you got the top four in the East that can basically do anything. It doesn't matter now. They're jockeying for some position.
Right.
And top three in the West, the same kind of thing. And it's like, well, whatever. We'll just take the night off. And once the ball gets rolling like it has now in the NBA, no one calls anybody on anything.
No.
Doesn't matter. Like, I was shocked LeBron returned and played last night. He came off the bench. I thought he was going to be out for a long... Like, he was out for a month.
Yeah.
But there was some rumors and chatter that he'd be out the whole season. He what returns, was, he comes off the bench, and they lose.
What was his comment? Yeah.
Which okay, we'll come back. We got to set up the clip of LeBron post-game about his foot, right? And about... He's got the greatest foot of all time. Is that effectively the clip you're looking for? Him talking about what the doctor said about his foot?
Yeah, like we always joke about, like, if somebody's got a good short game, it's like that guy's the Gretzky of chipping.
Yeah.
But you've never actually heard that from, like, Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
I mean.
Okay, we've got the clip. Do you want to hear it?
Yes,
this is LeBron talking about his foot status and what he's been through.
Did anyone ever suggest surgery?
Yeah, two doctors.
Why did you decide against it?
Because I went to LeBron James of feet, and he told me I should.
The did any?
I'm not done. Nah.
I'm not done.
That is the best.
I went to the LeBron James of feet.
The LeBron James of feet, and he said that LeBron James of feet said no one's recovered. Like he has.
What if
he's the LeBron James of recovering from a foot injury?
What if somebody was like, "Did you see a Michael Jordan doctor?"
That would be the best. Well, so you went to see what, the second or third greatest doctor in the country?
Greatest doctor, yeah.
Where's the Michael Jordan of doctors? Shouldn't you go see that guy?
You know, it's pathetic. I would have angered him if somebody said, "Why didn't you go see the Michael Jordan of feet?"
They would be kicked out of the room.
Out of there, man. He'd storm out of there.
But it is kind of funny.
I'm not surprised LeBron would drop that line.
That's the first time I've ever seen someone use it like themselves.
Right. Yeah. LeBron James.
I remember.
Feet.
We had Wayne Gretzky on our show. Do you remember what I asked him? I said, "Have anybody ever referred to you?" I said, "My wife is the Wayne Gretzky of shopping." And remember, he laughed and he was like, "No, but you know, he's so humble. He kind of brushed it off." But I said, "Do you know that your name is referenced as the greatest on everything, not just hockey, the Wayne Gretzky of shopping, the Wayne Gretzky of eating, or you name it?" And he was very gracious about it. I've never heard anybody do it that way.
Well, he's back. LeBron's back. And he came off the bench for only the second time in his career. How much do you want to bet he won't do it a third time? I'd be shocked if he's not in the starting lineup, especially considering they lost to Chicago last night.
Yeah.
Sam Mitchell on that and more coming up in a couple of hours. Carlo will join us. Carlo Koliakovo first up. He's coming up in about 25 minutes. Back into the Leafs weekend, looking ahead to the game against Florida on Wednesday night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Final home game of the season. Every day this week, we've been providing clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And I'm really chewing this up because it's written in a way that I'm Ron Burgundy right now.
Why is the writing so small on this?
We're going through different people here. We got our main man Chris behind the scene. Chris is he's a rock star. He's doing a great job. And it's my own fault. I should have read this beforehand. This is amateur hour on my end, and I am Ron Burgundy right now, and I'm sewering myself. Anyway, we know the way this works. We're giving away Leaf tickets every day this week. We're going to provide a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. On Friday, you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this Leaf was a former third-round pick in the NHL draft. Former third-round pick.
Matt Stajan. Or was he a first?
Stage was a second-round pick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Stage was a second-round pick. So this Leaf was a third-round pick in the draft, all right? There you go.
I give Stage full props for going Messier. Well, I thought he was going to hang on to that bird's nest up there. And he went Messier, and he got rid of all of it.
I don't think he hit 30 with hair. I think Stage was Messier by 27 or 28.
I'm not kidding you, and this isn't a shot. He could have gone Messier in junior.
Yes, he could have. Yeah, he could have.
He was balding in junior?
Yeah. Well, I think it was thinning out when he was in Belleville.
He had Brian McCabe now in Belleville.
Yeah. Who was it the other day that grabbed his bucket? His helmet fell off.
Achari?
Was it Achari? Yeah, Achari, he pulled an Ally Afraidy, man. His helmet went and he was.
You would have thought his head was still in it.
Yes.
Like he was like there. He was getting punched in the face. You name it. He was trying to get
that's
his bucket
exhibit
back
A
on.
Of when you need to go Messier. If you go diving for your bucket, like your life's at stake, you have to go Messier.
Yeah. If you are more concerned with where your helmet is than where the puck is or where your opponent is.
Can you imagine game 7 in the playoffs, somebody lost their bucket and they just said, screw it, that's going in the net, I don't care, I need the bucket on.
Fighting for position. Although the rules in the NHL are now, if you lose your helmet, you have to immediately put it back on or
maybe
go to the bench.
Maybe that's why they're putting it on quickly.
It could be. It could be the rules of the NHL, although... I think there's some
like
buffer.
That one felt like I'm not going to skate to the bench, like because you can leave it there and skate to the bench,
right.
But you've still got to skate to the bench with your salad exposed.
See, I don't understand. Like I get player safety, but let these guys. If the helmet pops off naturally, let a guy go no bucket on a shift. It's such great energy in the rink.
Yeah,
like when everyone was wearing helmets. Into the 2000s, and someone would lose their helmet and have it. Because remember, Stage told us that story for his 1,000th game. Maybe it was his final game.
Didn't
and he told
he
the guys on the bench, he said, I'm losing my helmet, and I'm going to have a full shift. And he went out and, like, accidentally on purpose popped his bucket off and had, like, a 45-second, like...
And the guys loved it.
And they were going nuts on the bench in Calgary.
That's
because it
I
really
love.
Is a great vibe when it's like that guy's got no helmet and he's flying and the hair is just in it's, textbook form.
Well, Stage was a young buck when I played with him and I was one of the only veterans to play in Halifax and I said, fellas, this warm-up, everybody no bucket. And they were like, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That should be mandatory in the NHL.
I honestly don't know. And some teams have a mandate where they don't allow the players to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they allow you to do it, I honestly, truly believe, other than the competition and the lifestyle, I honestly think it's the greatest thing about the NHL. It's so cool.
I was the backup. I wheel out with no bucket on. I'd leave my mask on the bench there.
At least
go for
a couple laps.
Then you put the helmet on. Then you go. Thing is, though, and I understand the counter argument. Like Taylor Hall got his head skated over.
That was
like,
really
that
extreme.
Was, you know,
yes.
Like
he almost ruined it for everybody.
Well, yeah. Travis Green took a slap shot off the crossbar and hit Pierre Turgeon in the cheek when I was playing for the Islanders. 6 weeks he was out. Like, I don't know if
what's
he was
Greeny
wearing...
doing taking a clapper
well,
you know, warm-up?
Like, guys just snapping it
guys
off.
Guys do stupid things.
That's the problem, is guys do stupid things and there's 100 pucks on each side out there. The other day we pointed out, I'm trying to remember, it was on one of... Claude Giroux, Cam Talbot was flicking the puck off the boards.
I know.
And it landed on the back of his neck.
Right.
Like, it happens. Guys have to wear helmets, I think, nowadays. There's just so many things. But I do appreciate it, and that was one of kind of the luxuries of saying you made it when you skated around with no bucket.
The most depressing one I ever saw was in Washington. Stephen Rice was scratched for 15 games in a row. He was so jacked up, wheeled out, and just took an absolute laser off the crossbar, hit himself right between the forehead.
Why are we laughing?
20 zippers and a concussion.
Out.
And he was his first. The coach said, buddy, you're in tonight. Be ready to rock. He skated out there, and 5 minutes later,
knocked himself
he
out.
He was done for another 10 games.
See, you know what I've noticed? McDavid and Draisaitl quickly take their chin strap off. If you watch, if they score an OT winner, the two of them immediately snap their chin strap off. Watch it. It's weird. Like
so
I saw
like they can just pop
when McDavid hit 60, he came around. By the time Draisaitl got to him, they both had taken their chin straps off. Like as a celebratory move. But that's as far as you can go, I guess.
Can't pop
Although you're not
helmet.
No one's taking their helmet off, you know, after an OT winner.
I usually notice weird stuff like that, but I'm trying to think
of
why.
I saw that. Why, go back and watch the replay. Maybe I'm positive I saw it, and I made a note of it. Like, that's interesting.
Always,
they immediately took their chin straps off.
Like nowadays, guys use their mouth guard as a chew toy.
Right, they pop it out.
As they're skating, like they'll pop it into their glove or whatever.
Yes.
I've never saw that one.
I'm pretty sure McDavid and Draisaitl both had their chin straps undone for the OT celebration.
So it was like game over, let's do this type of thing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, and they popped their helmets up. Like, it wasn't like their helmets were off. But
I don't know. I think back to how the game has changed. I played with the guy who never wore a bucket. Craig McTavish was the last, was he the last NHL?
He was the last guy, I believe, yes.
I used to get a ride from him to the rink in St. Louis.
I'll never forget lining up against him when he played for the Flyers. I'm like, this guy with his curly salad has no bucket on in an NHL game.
Did he even own a helmet?
Well, I think at some point...
Like, did the team supply him with a helmet and he just said, thank you, but I'm not wearing it? Never have a helmet?
I swear he wore a helmet.
Imagine never owning a helmet
owned one, ever in his life. He's never owned
crazy.
A helmet.
It's crazy. I don't remember... I remember, I think I've told you guys, him getting head first hit into the boards as hard as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And just got up and skated away like it was nothing.
Think about that. That guy played modern era with no bucket.
Yeah.
No bucket.
Was he on the 94 Rangers team?
Yes.
No bucket.
No stuff. Won the Stanley Cup.
At the Garden.
He scored on me. I remember
skating around. Now, everyone's got no bucket. You know what would be amazing if he put his helmet on for the Cup celebration? Just in case it fell on his head. Yeah, you got to be careful.
He had no bucket on.
That's amazing.
It was crazy.
That's insane.
His whole career. No, I swear. Yeah. We have to check to see if he wore a helmet.
I'd be shocked if he did. But all right, more on that in hour two. Carlo Colaiacovo coming up. Auston Matthews in his return to the top of his game. What's up with Morgan Riley? That and more still to come in hour two. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.